The Digital Real Estate Industry Summit is taking place later this week. It's a summit to provide South African property practitioners an opportunity to explore trends, technologies, but also what's going to be top of mind also is the issue of transforming the property industry, and while also forging important connections and also investment opportunities, but also dealing with how many of the issues that we face in South Africa also reflect themselves in all other industries, including the property industry. And one of the biggest issues facing the industry is what's being considered the lack of transformation. There are something like 45,000 agents qualified to sell property in South Africa. Only 4,000 of them are black. Yet, if we look at who is the face of the home buyer in South Africa, the new home buyer, property buyer in South Africa is black young women. Black young women are the biggest driver of growth in the property sector. And so how does the industry address these issues where the industry is not reflective of the market that is driving it? Joseph Sekoneka is the CEO of the National Property Practitioners Council, joins me now on the line. Joseph, thanks so much for joining us. Some weighty issues that are being discussed at the summit, reflecting conversations that are happening everywhere from sports fields to boardrooms to talk radio shows. How are you doing?
Good, and how are you, Lester? And thank you so much for having me. Good morning to your listeners. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
The issue of transformation in the sector, I'm fascinated to read that statistic. There are 45,000 agents, qualified agents in South Africa. Only 4,000 of them, that would be what, less than 10% of agents in South Africa are in fact black. Yet at the same time, the sector is largely being driven by new home and property buyers, which are majority young and black women.
Thank you, Lester. That's a very interesting angle to look at transformation in the sector. And I think what I need to mention upfront is transformation is a multifaceted conversation that we all need to have. Because if you think about how property transactions are procured, you have the consumer on one end, and on the other, you then have the estate agent that is the middleman between the buyer or the tenant and the landlord and the seller. So in the main, if you are looking at the statistics that are, yes, not reflective of the demographics of the country, particularly looking at the fact that young black women are the majority of the buyers, then it actually begs the question, why are black estate agents not being used specifically to facilitate those transactions? And I think this has something to do with the brand that they represent. Because if you look at the sector itself, you'll then realize that the majority of the companies that are, you know, big brands, they are actually white. Now, if you look at consumers looking for property, they would look for an established brand. And majority of these young black estate agents that are joining the sector, they might not necessarily be working for those established brands. Mm. And if consumers are going to be looking for professional services to sell their property, and you don't have an established national brand, you will definitely have an issue in terms of them giving you access to market. Mm-hmm. And if you can't get a property to sell or a property to lease on behalf of the landlord, you can't earn a commission. Mm-hmm. And as a result, you can't stay in the sector because it becomes unsustainable. Mm-hmm. And even if you were to join as a young black person and you get an opportunity to go work elsewhere mm-hmm. where the benefits are way higher than what you're getting as a black estate agent, you're definitely going to jump ship and then go to those sectors, particularly because, you know, property transactions take a while to register, and to wait for that long when you don't have capital or, you know, income support from elsewhere, you're just starting out. It's almost impossible to expect, you know, the numbers to rise, because I don't think that is a lack of interest among black people to join the sector. They do join, but the retention rates are low.
Well, at the same time, I have friends, black friends, who and when we talk black, broadly black, African, Indian, coloured people who've decided to go into the property market to start small firms. But then they say, but the people who live in our communities, the people who we want to help buy property, they're not coming to us. They're going to the established branches of big property companies. So is that then not also an issue where the people in the communities where these emergent black property practitioners want to serve and they want to invest in the market, their customers aren't coming to them. They're going to the established companies.
Brilliant analysis there. And that's exactly the point that I'm raising, that if you're not well known, you will find it hard to penetrate the market. And there's almost a need for consumer education or psychological transformation that needs to happen here. Because often, many times, the very same consumers will say, we don't actually see black qualified estate agents. On the one angle, you have estate agents that are actually out there, black, and they are qualified, but they don't then get opportunities to actually sell, you know, houses, particularly in high-end markets. And just to add fuel to the wound, you would find situations where in some estates, there are the so-called accreditation fees, where if you want to sell a property in a certain estate, you have to pay those fees before you are allowed to actually, you know, sell property in those kind of settings. Unfortunately, these young and black upcoming estate agents don't have deep pockets to afford those, you know, accreditation fees. And as a result, they can't participate in those markets. And as a result, it becomes unsustainable for, you know, black person to try and practice as an estate agent when you are not given an opportunity to trade, because you can't earn an income and therefore you'll end up leaving the space. Mm. So on the other hand, there's an issue around training where not everyone would obviously be qualified to be entrusted with a big investment such as a property. Even those that are in the space as black estate agents, the training modalities currently are not supportive of them actually growing, because you will see that as a new entrant, you have to first find an existing agency to join, serve a 12-month internship, and once you're serving your internship, you are also required to study. And you are trying to survive, and that balancing act of having to study and also earn a living is a difficult one, because you almost sacrifice your studies to actually earn a living, and in the process, you're sacrificing your career growth and you remain as an intern, which is why you'll see the dynamics in the property space, that not a lot of black estate agents are owners of real estate companies. They're actually working either as intern, meaning they're just actually in category one of the sector, or they are full status agents, but they're not necessarily running those companies themselves. So there are two levers that are at play. The training element on the agent themselves, that they find it hard to balance with having to earn an income to sustain themselves. But there's also a psychological transformation from the consumer side that needs to trust black brands that are out there and qualified. So those are the things that we need to focus on if we are then to win this transformation issue.
Joseph, just last week, we had a news story in Cape Town where an estate agent was fired from the firm. She was acting on the instruction of a landlord that had a race-based policy when it comes to who they will allow to rent their flat. That story is not unique to Cape Town. It's definitely not a uniquely Cape Town story. It's not the first time a story like that. That is obviously, and it is against the spirit of the Constitution. It's against the spirit of the Housing Rental Act, that there can be no discrimination based on sex, gender, on race and culture when it comes to how you decide to rent and who you decide to rent a property to. But estate agents would argue, but we are under pressure from the landlord. And of course you can take a principled stance and saying, if that is your policy, I don't want your business. Please go look for somebody elsewhere. But I'd like you to weigh in on that situation here in Cape Town where a estate agent said, because of a policy of a landlord, I can't offer you a viewing for this property. Weigh in on that, please.
Lester, thank you so much. To be honest with you, this is one of the disappointing cases that will go down in history. And I think future generations will remember the name of Gabriella Johnson as one of the estate agents that brought the whole profession into disrepute. Now, I think as South Africans, you are well aware that racism is not unique to a specific sector. It is actually prevalent. And I'm almost tempted to argue that it will soon become a pandemic. Because you have friends that have since called me specifically to say that this is not an isolated incident. Some of them, as potential tenants, have had to get their friends that can speak English better than they can do, so that the estate agent sitting on the other side of the line can actually accept their application. And this is further informed by the very same thing that actually transpired in Cape Town, where landlords are so-called race-specific. I don't even know what that means, because in essence, that is actually just discrimination. And estate agents need to be careful not to aid those racial practices that are actually not ethical. Because at the end of the day, as an estate agent, you have a responsibility to almost manage up. If the landlord gives you an instruction that you can only bring me X as the tenant and not Y, you as an estate agent, you've got an ethical responsibility to decline that mandate. And now this again brings into question the way we are training estate agents. And in this country, we have a regulator of the real estate sector called the Estate Agency Affairs Board, and they've defined the code of conduct, and you'll see specifically amplifying the conditions or provisions of the Constitution. The code of conduct is very clear. It says no estate agent can actually discriminate against anyone based on race, creed, country of origin. And this is also in the Constitution. And I think this is where, as South Africans, we need to actively act against racism. And as a professional, I would have actually expected the estate agent to decline that mandate and say, I cannot do this because it's unethical. And now think about how many other incidents happened that are not in the limelight and receiving the attention that this particular one from Paul Osei is actually receiving, because it was reported.
But you head up an industry organization, you head up an industry body that I don't know if you have any statutory power, but you have the power to influence those within your business, your industry. How then exactly are you doing that?
Certainly, Lester. So what we're doing is, remember, we as the MPPC, we are actually a platform where industry and the regulator can engage. So the question we are really asking hard is, what is EAB going to do about this? And from our side, we don't want to sit on the fence and defend conduct such as this, because it doesn't then serve as a deterrent for those that might want to engage in similar conduct in the future. So what we are doing is to actively engage the regulator to ask the pertinent question, to say, this is an opportunity not to be missed by you as a regulator. You need to affirm your regulatory powers, and you've got the responsibility to make sure that those that are working under this specific principle are properly trained, because there's even a regulation in the code of conduct around vicarious responsibility. It's not only the agent that needs to be brought to book, but it's also the management. So we as the industry body representing the collective of all property professionals, we are going to be engaging with the regulator to say, this is an opportunity not to be missed. Let's make sure that we actually bring, you know, disciplinary measures specifically for this particular case, so that those that are still thinking or contemplating on doing something similar will realize that this is not ethical. And we actually have to send a strong message out there to say, it shall not happen under our watch, because when the regulator does something right, we commend them. But when our members equally do something that is wrong, we also have to condemn them and say, this is actually unethical, it's against the rules, and therefore we need to send out a strong message. And that's essentially what we're going to be doing.
Joseph Sakoneka is the CEO and President of the National Property Practitioners Council. Thank you so much for joining us here on The Morning Review.